Do you live this way, a constant conversation with the Lord? You know, things arise in your life. You're throwing prayers out right away to the God of heaven. You're throwing up those two-second prayers. Give me wisdom how to respond. Help me not to react this way, Lord. Grant me understanding so I might respond the right way. Lord, forgive me for what I just thought. Whatever it might be, is your life like this? Nehemiah's was.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we conclude our look at how we're to deal with impossible situations.
Yes, Dave, and as we continue to look at Nehemiah's faith in action, I believe we're going to be greatly encouraged. So turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 2, and we're going to continue our look at verses 1 through 8.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And it came about in the month of Nisan, 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that wine was before him, and I took the wine and gave it to the king. He was the cupbearer, right? He tests the wine. He drinks it first, you know, and if it's good, he doesn't fall over and die, then the king takes it, right? You know, he's protecting the king, right? And so then he says here, now look at this. Now I had not been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, why is your face sad, though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart. Then I was very much afraid. And I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire? We're going to see he is walking with the Lord, and that leads him to respond wisely. He is thinking through, he is preparing in advance what he's going to share, and he's walking with the Lord. Now notice this, it says, now I had not been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, why is your face sad, though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart. Now this is a hard portion to interpret or understand completely, but I think the main point is obvious. You see, because there were those in official service, and if you were in official service or anything to do with the court, if you were sad, you were killed. Things needed to be happy. There's actually a Persian law, you could not be sad in the presence. You had to put on a happy face before the king. And so this was a very serious thing. If you had a bad attitude, you were removed or killed. You know, the king was in full authority. And so then, you were not allowed to be sad. So the obvious question is Nehemiah putting this on so that he can get an opening with the king? What's going on? This is hard to figure out, but, you know, is he sad? So the purpose, the king will ask him, why? That's a pretty risky thing. Or is it at the point, as he knows he's going before the king, it's all bearing down on him? 4 months of grief over the situation, and he just can't hide it at this point. What's going on here? Well, for whatever reason, Nehemiah's sadness has not shown before, but it was coming out here. And the king was very observant. This guy's a sharp cookie, this king. You'll see in what he asks, the questions he comes forth. There's no wonder he's the king. He said, now I had not been sad in his presence, so the king said to me, why is your face sad, though you are not sick? He's very observant. This is nothing but sadness of heart. He's very intuitive. King's observant. He understood exactly what's going on. He says, this is sadness of heart. It's sadness of heart. And notice Nehemiah's response. Then I was very much afraid. We're not sure exactly why he's very much afraid, but I think there's a lot of reasons. One, he already knows he's going to ask the king at this point. He's planned to come before him. He's asked for compassion and favor, right? He's also now realized that the king's seen him being sad. That's not legal. That's not good. You're in trouble there, right? So he is very afraid. And so then, Nehemiah, being very much afraid, understands what the king could do. He's very afraid. He's afraid of the circumstances, probably in that sense. We all would be afraid in situations like that. But if you're walking with the Lord, you're trusting him, we'll see what someone like that does. Notice he is ready and he is wise in what he says. And I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and the gates have been consumed by fire?" This answer is extremely wise. He says, "Let the king live forever. I am loyal to you, king. Let the king live forever." And now he's going to say, "Why shouldn't my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and the gates have been consumed by fire?" And you say, how is that so wise? Well, did you notice something missing in what he said there? He didn't mention the name Jerusalem. He didn't say Jerusalem. And also he mentioned his father's tombs. He's very wise in how he's coming to the king here. You see, it's quite possible the word Jerusalem would have made this king get a little eerie. You know why? Well, look at Ezra chapter 4. You see, because it's apparent earlier, bad guys tried to stop the rebuilding of the walls and stuff and the gates. When Ezra was there, they tried to stop it. And they sent a thing to the king saying, hey, they're rebellious, they're all this stuff, and we'll see that. And so the king put a stop order on it. And it was because Jerusalem is a town that gets out of control. You see? Let's take a look at that. Ezra chapter 4. And let's take a look at verse 7. Now, in Ezra chapter 4, between Ezra 1 and 6, it is about the first departure back. But in chapter 4, that chapter is specifically about the opposition. And so it shows opposition at three different timetables. Okay? And this is the last portion. Now, notice he says here, Ezra 4, 7, "In the days of Artaxerxes, Bishlam, Mithridath, Tebal, and the rest of the colleagues wrote to Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and the text of the letter was written in Aramaic and translated from Aramaic. Rehum, the commander, and Shimshai, the scribe, wrote the letter against Jerusalem to King Artaxerxes as follows." Now, skip down to verse 11 for now. We've got a lot here. "This copy of the letter was which they sent to him. To King Artaxerxes, your servants, the men in the region beyond the river, and now, let it be known to the king that the Jews who came up from you have come to us at Jerusalem, and they are rebuilding the rebellious and evil city, and they are finishing the walls and repairing the foundations." Uh-oh. This is evil opposition, okay? And he says here, and this would be under the work of Ezra 13 years earlier, okay? And this is the same king that they're writing to, okay? Okay? And so he says, "Now let it be known to the king that the city is rebuilt, the walls are finished, they will not pay tribute, custom, or toil, and it will damage the revenue of the king. Now, because we are in the service of the palace and it is not fitting for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore we have sent and informed the king, so that a search may be made in the record books of your fathers, and you will discover in the record books and learn that the city is a rebellious city, a damaging to kings and provinces, and that they have incited revolt in the past days. Therefore, the city was laid waste. We inform the king that if the city is rebuilt, the walls are finished. As a result, you will have no possession in the province beyond the river." These are evil lies. And he's even going to use the fact of Israel's failures before to substantiate these lies. "And the king sent an answer to Rehum the commander, to Shimshai the scribe, and to the rest of their colleagues who were living in Samaria and the rest of the province beyond the river, peace. And now the document which you sent to us has been translated and read before us, and a decree has been issued by me, and a search has been made, and it has been discovered that the city has risen up against the kings in past days, that rebellion and revolt have perpetrated in it, that mighty kings have ruled over Jerusalem, governing all the provinces beyond the river, that tribute, custom, and toll were paid to them. So now issue a decree to make these men stop work, that the city may not be rebuilt until the decree is issued by me." And so we have him doing a stop work there. And it's because he looked it up and the city's a bunch of rebels, basically. And so Jerusalem doesn't have a very good name in the king's ears, okay? And so he is very wise. He is very wise to not mention Jerusalem. And he's also very wise to talk about the place of his father's tombs. The Persians would have reverence for their dead ancestors. And he is being very wise. He's not being deceitful. He's being extremely wise in coming before the king. Extremely wise. And so back in our passage, he says, "Let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs," he doesn't say Jerusalem, "place of my father's tombs lies desolate, gates have been consumed by fire." And so then, this leads to the point that we need to have, in a sense, a preparation for what we're going to say in situations when God answers prayers. We need to prepare. We need to be thinking about what we might say. We need, when God opens the door, we pray for open doors. We pray, 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 and then we're not ready. Nehemiah is wisely ready. Now, we got to trust the Lord, as we're going to see. Nehemiah could have come out and spoken really wrongly. He could have said, you know, why shouldn't I be sad? Because you made a decree to stop the work and the gates are burned down and everyone's demoralized. It's all your fault, right? He doesn't say anything like that at all. The king is not insulted in any way. He's being extremely wise. He's not being deceitful either. So we need to respond wisely. And notice that comes from the fact that Nehemiah is walking with the Lord. Look back at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said to me, what would you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. I love this. We could stop here and say amen. This is a tremendous portion. Nehemiah is a good guy. Now, the king is a smart guy also. He's a discerning man. He cuts right to the chase. What would be your request? He cuts right to it. He's very discerning. And Nehemiah throws up a prayer in the moment. So I prayed to the God of heaven. That's what people do when they're walking with the Lord. If you're walking with the Lord, when situations come, boom, you throw up a prayer to the Lord. You are walking with him. You're asking for it. Someone says something, you go, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. How to respond, Lord. You know, whatever it might be. When you're walking with the Lord, you have an ongoing conversation. And Nehemiah probably prayed something like this. Lord, give me wisdom what to say. Give me the words to say. You know, he prayed to the Lord. And he had bathed this in prayer beforehand also. So in moments like these, we could go blank. We could lose our train of thought. We could forget what we want to say. We could even say something that's wrong. Maybe because we haven't prepared. Or we're not those who are in a constant pattern of walking with the Lord and going before him, asking for wisdom in every circumstance. Nehemiah is walking with the Lord. He says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. You see, for your faith to work, you must be believing and trusting in the Lord. And Nehemiah's prayer reveals that. Nehemiah's faith is going to work, but it's based on the fact that God is working in him. And he's praying, right? So do you live this way, a constant conversation with the Lord? You know, things arise in your life. You're throwing prayers out right away to the God of heaven. You're throwing up those two-second prayers. Give me wisdom how to respond. Help me not to react this way. Whatever it might be, Lord, grant me understanding so I might respond the right way. Lord, forgive me for what I just thought. Whatever it might be. Is your life like this? Nehemiah's was. So then he's walking with the Lord and he's being wise. But notice, this is really important. When we are waiting for God to answer our prayers, good prayers, godly prayers, things according to his will, things of, Lord, help my marriage. Lord, help my children. Lord, help my work in this situation. Lord, help me in this difficulties with my boss or whatever it might be. Things where you're really praying for that. We need to be prepared in advance for when God opens the door to actually help us. So often we're not, but Nehemiah was. Look at what he says here. Verse 5. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king and your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah. He doesn't say Jerusalem, does he? Send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. He knows exactly what he's asking for. And he asks in a way that is very wise. Here again, with respect and honor, Nehemiah shows the king in his answer. If it pleases the king and your servant has found favor. And by the way, he has found favor. He has been a good servant. Don't expect God to answer prayers before people if you've been a bad employee. You're praying and praying that your boss would give you a raise to help with whatever it might be or to lessen this or help this or this. And you're not a good employee. Don't expect God to answer those prayers if you haven't found favor. You're not even working well under the Lord with your boss. So he says here, if your servant has found favor before you. And his request is pretty straightforward. Send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. So now I'd like to talk about Nehemiah's preparation here. He knows what to ask when God opened the door. He was prepared. You know, we have all these prayer requests we have together, and it's good, but are we prepared, ready for the answer? Are we ready for when God does, or are we just sitting back waiting for God to do something? We don't even know what he's going to do. One thing I want to mention is obviously he's walking with the Lord. He has favor with the king because his grace is upon him, but he's been doing a good job. Nehemiah has been a good cupbearer. So then if we're walking rightly, doing our jobs, confessing sins, training our children, loving our wives, serving faithfully in the body of Christ, doing what we should be doing while we're waiting on the Lord. We should be doing those things. Then the king said to me, this is verse 6, the queen sitting beside him. Interesting little note there. Some have made a wrong interpretation that that's Esther. This is one generation past. But maybe the queen nudged him. You know, the queen sitting beside, you know, right? And so the king said to me, queen sitting beside him, how long will your journey be and when will you return? Pretty basic question that Nehemiah needs to be prepared to answer in advance. And notice he says, so it pleased the king to send me. Notice what he says here. And I gave him a definite time. Nehemiah was a valued servant of the king. He's asking for how long you'll be gone. Now, Nehemiah was a slave. He wasn't free to do whatever he wanted. He was a slave. Now, he wasn't caught up in the slavery issue. He was serving the Lord as the slave. And he gives him a definite time. I'll be back at this time. He understands that. He knew. He was ready for it. How many times has God opened doors for us and we're like, I'm not sure. Well, let me think about it. You know, Nehemiah knew. And so, folks, I praise the Lord. It pleased the king to send him. This is an answer to prayer. And then look at verse 7. He doesn't stop with his request. He's thought it through. And I said to the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me to the governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they might allow me to pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he might give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, for the wall of the city, and for the house to which I will go. He has done his homework. He even knows the name of the gatekeeper. Asaph, he's done his homework. And that should cause us to be ashamed at times. We don't do our homework. We don't do the work that we should be doing in preparation for the answer that God is going to do. We're not diligent in that. And it's walking by faith if we are doing those things. So he was thoroughly ready, thoroughly prepared for when the Lord opened the door. And we need to learn for that, because not only during those 4 months did Nehemiah pray, he prepared. He prepared for what the Lord might answer. Folks, living by faith doesn't mean that we're not prepared. Doesn't mean that we just wing it or whatever, you know. He expects us to use the intellect that we have, the giftings we have, the abilities, in the context of relying on him. It's not because of those things that anything gets done, but he uses those things as we trust in him. Nehemiah's plans were in the context of his faith working. And he was ready as he's walking with the Lord when God opened the door. And for some of us, we need to do our homework, or we're going to miss the door of opportunity when the Lord answers our prayer. Some of you want to serve Christ. You want to move to serve Christ. Be prepared for all the things that might come. Looking for work, getting prepared for it, taking classes, whatever it might be, so that you don't walk into a situation where you're not prepared, but the whole time you knew you needed a job. Get prepared. Do that. When the Lord opens the door. Work situations. What about for parents? You're praying about your children. You're praying for your adult sons that are not following the Lord, or daughters. Are you prepared when God opens the door to talk to them? Have you been in the Word of God? Are you preparing what you're going to say in advance when your son or daughter says, I need to talk to you, Dad? Are you prepared? You're praying for that, but are you prepared? You're praying for a relative that's not saved, and God opens the door. Are you ready in advance to share with them? You've been praying for months. Whatever it might be, this should cause some of us to confess that we have not been prepared. We prayed a lot, but we haven't been prepared. And we need to be prepared. How are we to deal with impossible situations? We need to pray. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to walk with the Lord, and we need to be ready for his answer. We need to be ready for his answer. You're having problems in your marriage, and you're praying that you'll be able to have a conversation that would be profitable. Are you prepared in the Word? Are you ready to lay forth those things that God would have you lay forth in a way that is glorifying to God, that God would use to open that door and answer your prayer? So then, Nehemiah trusted the Lord. He waited patiently. He prayed. He walked with the Lord. He was ready. He was prepared when the Lord opened the door. How are we to deal with impossible situations? Pray. Wait on the Lord. Things are bigger than what we think they are, much bigger. We need to walk with the Lord. We need to be prepared for his answer. He gives us brains. He gives us intellect. He gives us experience. He gives us those things. Use those in the context of trusting him, not your own wisdom, and prepare. And then notice what will happen if you've done these things. Verse 8, and the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me. He doesn't say, well, I certainly prepared well. I'm so glad I did all that preparation. I'm so glad I went and figured out who the king's timber guy was. I'm so glad I did all this. I'm sure glad I waited. He doesn't say that because those were things he did when he was trusting the Lord. And so it was all the Lord through him in that. And he says, because the good hand of my God was on me. You know, we have times here, and my heart shudders at times, where people pray for certain things, and I'm thinking, well, there's things you should be doing that can certainly help in that area, and I don't hear that in your life. You need to be prepared. And if we do that, then God gets all the glory, because his good hand was upon Nehemiah. Nehemiah was following the Lord. You see, you'll know when your faith has worked when you give God all the glory, when you go, it was all him. The good hand of God was on me. We have an example of Nehemiah. He waited for the Lord. We need to wait for his time and his timing because his desires and will are way beyond us. We need to walk with the Lord, confessing sin. We fail. Praying, throwing up those prayers. Lord, help me. Lord, give me wisdom. In the moment, we're walking with the Lord in those circumstances. Our conversations are causing us to pray. And we need to prepare for his answer. And lastly, when he answers, if we've been trusting him, if it's our faith in him that's being manifest, then he'll get all the glory. The good hand of my God was upon me. We need to be praying. If you're not, confess. We need to be waiting on the Lord. If you're not, confess. We need to be walking with him. If you're not, confess. We need to be preparing for his answer. If you're not, confess. If these things are important enough to bring before the Lord, they're important enough for him to use the intellect and skills and abilities and things he's placed in your life to prepare for them. I praise the Lord we're here in South Carolina, and it's by his good hand I can say that every detail was worked out, that he answered prayers over and over and over again in his timing. And I praise him for that. And it's a wonderful thing when you see God's hand moving and answering prayers. And you look back and you say, the good hand of the Lord was on me. Can you say that? Can you say that in answered prayer in your life? Can you say it was because of his good hand upon you?
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the Ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, Greg, you've shown us from Nehemiah's example that we need to be ready for the Lord's answer to our prayers.
Yes, Dave. And so with this in mind, brothers and sisters, are you ready for his good hand to direct you and lead you where he wants you to be? Well, then, we need to be praying. If you're not praying, just confess. And then we need to be waiting on him. And if you're not waiting on him, just confess and wait on the Lord. And we need to be walking with him. And if you're not walking with him, just confess and get right with him. So then, the Lord has given us brains. He's given us experiences. He's placed us in circumstances. Commit those to the Lord and be ready for his answer, and then give him all the glory.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.